After that bursting in the song, we may have some bursting in the song by the end of the scripture passage. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea and beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, let's be honest. How many of you started hearing Handel's Messiah at least a little bit at the end of that? Yeah. We were kind of trapped. This is the ultimate Advent passage. We're reading it a week early, and it feels a little odd, but just a little bit, because we're almost there. And we, as Christians, almost always read this passage as pointing forward to Christ. But by the time we read it at Advent, we read it as though it's already happened. We are remembering the gift of this child, even as we prepare for it again. We are remembering prophetic voices and prophetic visions. And this is where prophecy gets really, really weird. I don't know how many of you noticed, but almost all of this passage is in past tense. Isaiah says to God, "You have done, you have done, you have broken." All of this stuff, almost all of it, is in past tense when Isaiah is talking about it, not just when we think about it. And so there's this challenge with prophetic stuff in general, is like, do we trap it just when Isaiah said it and hold it in amber and it only speaks to people then? Or is the power of scriptural prophecy such that it speaks in all times and places in some way timeless? Well, I don't think we would still be reading Isaiah every Advent if we felt it was just trapped in amber in approximately 740 BC. So then here's the question. If this is both a backwards-looking and a forward-looking passage, how do we hear it today? Not just with our knee-jerk reflex reaction of, yay, it's Advent, let's play Handel's Messiah, this is all about Jesus. But as people who in 18, 19, 20 months have not lived as we would like to live, and frankly, know a little bit about despair over this time period. I think for us this year, Christ the King ends a year, it starts a year, it does all of these things. It is an opportune time for us to imagine this passage being read directly to us now without us knowing the answer. What does it mean for us in December almost of 2021 to say that the people who lived in darkness, on them light has shined? How have we seen the light of God shining? intermittently, in full-on glow, or kind of like a cigarette in the middle of the night on a Navy ship, visible for 2 miles, but really not much help if you're trying to read the paper. How is it that we have seen the light of God in our despair, in our struggles with the past year or longer, in our frustrations? Because the statement is not that it's always been good and God makes it better. The statement is they lived in a land of deep darkness, and on them light has shined. How have we seen the light of God in the last 19 months, 20 months, whatever it's been? Way too long. I would also remind you that we're griping about less than 2 years, and we have lots of biblical examples of 40 plus years and 400 years. People in the good old days really were tougher than us, weren't they? What does it mean for us to celebrate? Isaiah says, using present tense, that the people are rejoicing. They do rejoice. As people at harvest, as people dividing plunder, as people in those moments when the hard part is over. In agriculture and farming, there is often great anxiety until the harvest. All the work has happened, all the money has been paid out, all of the fields have been planted and they have started to grow, but until you harvest, you have no idea what you have. Until you harvest, it's not real and available for sale, for consumption. It's just out there. We could still have a rain, a wind, a fire, a hailstorm. It's just out there. You don't divide plunder until the battle is over. In the words of Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, but you don't count your blessing till the dealing's done. You didn't think I could pull that off, did you? These are all promises that the hard time is over. People are rejoicing as though the hard time, the uncertain time, the dangerous time is done. And Isaiah says, that's how people are already doing this. I don't think we're there yet, but what do we even remember how to celebrate as though the hard time was done? Or are we back to kind of muted, kind of, well, if this is what it is, I guess we got to do it this way. There is a conversation in here. I'm trying not to get it caught up in the Handel version, which is still running through my head. About what's going to come next, that the boots and the garments that were rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And we can read that as a basic cleanup statement, that the battle is over and there is not a need for these clothes and they are soiled and so they must be consumed and destroyed. Or we could read it paralleling the idea of beating swords into plowshares, that we are past the point where garments set aside for combat are needed. And then we have the child. We have the child, right? For unto us a son is born. It's happening. And Isaiah probably means King Hezekiah. We have taken that to mean Jesus. It's kind of foundational to our faith. I don't think it's a bad decision in light of our faith. Modern Jews take this to looking forward to a messianic age, an age of the Messiah. And so here we sit, and I want to ask you the question. If we don't make this about the Jesus we know, what does it mean to think about the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? as one who is here and yet we're still waiting for. But that is happening right now. Not just past tense, not just approximately 2021 years ago, but is happening now. How would that transform our world? I think we have to take this passage seriously, not as past tense, but as current and vibrant and living promises of God about the people of God and about how God intends to do things. You guys know that I can get a little animated and a little bit wound up. It happens. It actually fits this passage really well because when Isaiah says how this is going to happen, Isaiah closes this passage with the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to do this. Man, you thought it was bad when the preacher got excited. What's going to happen when God gets excited? That's essentially what Isaiah is saying and something that I think we let slide off of the tail end of this passage. All of this stuff, whether in the 8th century BC, whether it's in the 1st century, whether it's in the 21st century, God is excited and passionate and invested in being a part of all of this. This is not humdrum God stuff. Can you have humdrum God stuff? If you can, this is not it. God is serious and active and hopeful and excited and animated and energetic. God is being a zealot for God's people. In other words, God is as excited about us singing Handel's Messiah as we often are about singing Handel's Messiah. Now imagine that for a moment. Imagine a God excited about what's happening with us. So excited, in fact, that it's just going to be God's excitement that makes it all happen. That is what we're talking about in Isaiah 8 and 9. We're talking about both, yes, a fundamental transformation, a word that needs to happen to people who live in a land of deep darkness, people who live in despair, people who have seen, in this case, the northern kingdom overrun by Assyria. By people who have lost jobs, who have lost their mortgage and their home, by people who have not seen their loved ones, who have lost loved ones to death without being able to see them and without being able to celebrate their life and their resurrection. By people who are unsure if the bad times are over yet or not. That is who this passage is for. And if that's not us, if that's not a piece of the worldwide story over the last 2 years, I don't know what is. We have lived in lands of deep darkness. They haven't all looked the same. Some of them are scarier with different shadows at night than others. But we are also the people on whom that light has shined. And God is deeply invested in this transformation. And it is not just a past tense. It is not just 8th century, and it is not just 1st century. The power of God, the zeal of the Lord of hosts that is doing this, is also a 21st century promise. So as we head into Advent, as you hear Handel's Messiah, as you lose the game for hearing Little Drummer Boy sometime over the next couple weeks, as you pack and as you decorate, as you gather with family and friends, as you do all of these celebrations, look for the places that you have seen the light shine in the darkness. Look for the ways in which you have seen God's excitement spill over into our own lives and ask the question of yourself, of your church, of your neighbors, what does it look like to worship the eternal Father, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, and the wonderful Counselor? Not as though we know the answer, but as though our curiosity is rising to match God's zeal in doing this. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.